Amen. Welcome, everyone. Just want to pray before we start. Lord, we just pray as we come around your word this morning that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd encourage us and lift us up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That prayer that Suzanne prayed this morning is quite relevant, really. You know, we live in a time which makes people weary and many lose strength. But God is the strength of our life this morning, isn't he? And I've entitled this sermon, Hope in God. And in the scripture, we're going to turn to Psalm 43. It says there, vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. They reckon that about 5% of the world's population suffers from depression. And in the United States, around 21 million Americans have had a major depression episode. Of course, this is only estimated, but it does show us how prevalent it's a problem in our society. And I think most people have experienced a measure of depression in their lives, or feeling downcast, as the scripture puts it, or disturbed. We live in a fallen world, don't we? And we experience the sadness and the wickedness of this world. And even in our daily lives, as we read the news, or we see the problems in our society, or even in our own families and friendships, we can become downcast. We have our own problems, don't we, that cause us to become downcast. Might be our health woes, our money woes, our family woes. And just because you're a believer this morning doesn't make you immune to being downcast and disturbed. In fact, I would say that we're more prone to it as believers than unbelievers, because we're in a real battle this morning with a real enemy whose goal is to wear out the saints of the Most High God, who will use every circumstance, every tool in his arsenal to bring us down, to tempt us into discouragement and despair. And the biggest battle that we face is in our own minds, yes, and hearts, in the way that we respond to adversity, in the way we respond to our problems, in the way we act when we're beset with difficulties or opposition or persecution or just being treated unjustly or being falsely accused. How do we respond? We need a right mindset, don't we? To prevent us from slipping into despair at these times. And here in the Psalms, the psalmist recognises that he's got a problem. In Psalm 43 and verse 5, he says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. He's asking himself a question. Why, my soul, are you downcast? He's aware he's become downcast. He's aware that he's disturbed. You know, troubles have a way of making us feel down, don't they? And you wouldn't be human this morning if you weren't affected by trouble and tribulation. It's like an assault on your peace and safety, an unwelcome intrusion into our lives. And we get disturbed by it. We can become depressed even by it and downcast. And many times in our lives, even as Christians, we'll face times which cause us to feel this way, to feel disturbed, to feel even depressed. And you know, many of us, I'm sure, have struggled with feelings of depression, of being downcast, especially when things have been difficult in our lives, especially when we're facing situations that are outside of our control. or that are draining emotionally and physically and spiritually. And it's in those times when things are going wrong, when you're facing the difficulties and the setbacks, or when people are hurting you or injuring you, or your health maybe not doing too well, or just life is going the wrong way. And it's easy in those situations to give in to despair and depression and being downcast. To experience those feelings of anxiety and worry, or in modern day terms, stress. These are perfectly natural feelings that most human beings will experience, unless you're kind of self-deluded. But you know, the real question is for you and I, as believers, is how do we deal with those feelings? How do we stop ourselves going into that spiral of depression? How do we stop ourselves becoming withdrawn from both God and people? Because that's the natural response when we feel this way. We want to just withdraw from the world, withdraw from our friends and family, and withdraw ultimately from God. Because that's what we tend to do when things are getting us down. We want to withdraw. Curl up in a little ball and just exclude ourselves. And it can even affect our relationship with God. In Psalm 55, David said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." That's how we often feel, don't we? But that's not the right response, because, you know, we are called to be in the world, but not of it. And in this life, you and I, we have a hope that's beyond our problems, that's beyond our experiences, that can bring us relief even in the midst of trials and tribulation. We don't need to continue to be downcast. And the psalmist is asking himself this question: why? Why am I downcast? He's experiencing it. He's being honest. He's saying, "My soul, why are you down?" And that's a good place to start, isn't it? To say, why? Why am I so disturbed? There's often a good cause. We don't get disturbed for no reason, do we? We don't get downcast for no reason. Especially when your enemies are attacking you or things are calamitous in our lives. You may have every good reason this morning to be downcast. You may have every genuine reason to be disturbed. But what the psalmist is recognising is, even though I'm downcast, even though I'm disturbed, this isn't how I ought to be. And he says in that verse, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." In other words, despite all that's wrong, despite all what I'm experiencing and all these problems, I need to put my hope in God. Because only God can lift us up. God is our Saviour. God is worthy to be praised. And he sees us. He knows what we go through. He doesn't forget his people, does he? He knows our tears. He knows our heartaches. He knows our pain, our suffering. He sympathises with us. He empathises with us. He knows the things we go through. Nothing's hidden from his eyes, is it? In the scripture, it tells us to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. He has a concern for us. He loves us. He's our comforter, deliverer, saviour, hope. You know, in this life, we can face the most horrible things. Illness, sickness, persecution, suffering, loss, being misunderstood, being misinterpreted, being falsely accused, poverty, pain, heartache. God sees it all. And God will not allow us to be tested beyond what we can bear. He is our hope. In the book of Hebrews 11, that famous chapter on the heroes of faith, they continue to trust God. Despite being persecuted, despite suffering, despite not having received the promises in this life, they continue to trust God even in the hard times because they were looking for a better country. They had their eyes on the prize of Jesus Christ, on the one above. They put their faith in God because they knew that despite all that was going wrong, they had hope. The hope of salvation, the hope of mercy, the hope of forgiveness, the hope of eternal life. That is what sustained them. That's what enabled them to endure and to continue and to press on. Because this life can get you down if you allow it. It has a way of wearing us down. The Bible says, does it not, that the devil will try to wear out the saints of the Most High God in the latter days. Because weariness is what leads us to wanting to quit, to throw in the towel, to isolate ourselves from God's people and from God, and it makes us ineffective. We can become, it warns us in Scripture, doesn't it, to not to become weary of well-doing. Because the Bible says, in due season we shall reap if we don't become weary. You know, the thing is, that due season isn't necessarily in our time frame. It might not be tomorrow or next month or even next year. Do you know what? It might not even be in our lifetime. Like those in Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, they saw the promises not in this life. But that does not mean that our well-doing won't be rewarded. God rewards his people. He is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And that's why the scripture exhorts us not to lose heart, not to quit, but to continue to endure. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God rewards the faithful. We will reap if we don't lose heart. You know, there's a lot to be depressed about out there in this world. It's not getting any better, is it? In fact, at times it feels like the foundations of all civilization are crumbling beneath our feet. It feels like lawlessness is abounding and increasing. We see it in our cities and towns, violence, crimes increasing, corruption in our institutions that we're meant to trust in, organisations and business, moral decay throughout the land. This world is coming to an end, isn't it? And we can only expect things to get worse. The Bible doesn't say it's going to get better, does it? It says in the last days, perilous times will come. But you and I are pilgrims passing through, yeah. Sojourners, passing through the wilderness of this world. And on that way, we're going to be hurt. We're going to be afflicted. We may be attacked and rejected or even hated. But these complaints aren't unique to just you and I. All our brethren, it tells us in the Bible, in all the world, are going through the same sufferings and temptations and afflictions in one form or another. But we have to remember that our God is able to save us to the uttermost. Yes. He's able to complete the work he's begun in us, finish the job. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to lift us up when we're down. He's able to deliver us when we're in bondage. He's able to heal us and our broken hearts. He's able to forgive us. He's able to save us. In fact, the Bible says his mercy endures forever. He's paid a price for us. The precious blood of Jesus Christ has been shed so that we can be free. We don't have to remain in bondage. We don't have to remain in captivity to sin this morning. And we don't have to remain in despair and fear either. Because we've got a God who does care for us, who wants to save us, who wants to lead us and guide us and help us. In fact, his name is the Helper. He is the Good Shepherd, is he not? Who goes after the one sheep who's gone astray and leaves the 99 that don't need any help to go after that one that's led astray to bring them back. That's the heart of God. And you and I, we're engraved on the palm of his hand. We are the apple of his eye, the bride of Christ. We cry, Abba, Father. And you know what? God is attentive to the cries of his people. He does bring justice for his elect. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. As Alan was telling us last Sunday, God is just. God is righteous. He hears his people's cries for justice and for help to relieve the oppressed. God knows when we've been wronged. He knows when we've been dealt with unjustly. Do you not think that God can vindicate his own elect? Well, it tells us that in Luke 18, 7 to 8. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We need to trust him, don't we? We need to understand that though calamities may come, though difficulties may arise, though people may hate us, though we may be hurt and broken-hearted, though our lives may be frail and all of our flesh may fail us, our strength is in God. Our hope is in the Lord. And we can say to our soul, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Why are you disturbed within me? You know, we can get disturbed, can't we? You only have to go in the news to get to disturbed. Or look around each day and get disturbed. We live in a fallen world. We're going to get disturbed. We're going to get downcast. It's not wrong to be downcast. We all experience it. You wouldn't be human if you didn't. It's what this life is like in reality, isn't it? Disappointment, heartache and pain. It's not all a bed of roses. I don't like this notion that Christians have to always be smiling and happy clappy. And you've always got to have a smile on your face, otherwise you mustn't have enough faith. You know, God calls us to be realistic. He doesn't ask us to deny problems. We still have to face up to problems and pain and suffering. But we do it in the knowledge that despite the problem, God is our strength. Despite the problem, we have hope in God. And that ultimately he will vindicate us. And even if the promises aren't realised in this life, God will balance the books, ultimately. So we have to give ourselves a little bit of a kick up the backside sometimes when we can find ourselves spiralling into that doom and gloom, depression, worry, anxiety and fear. Fear is another one, you know. Fear of the future, fear for our families, fear for our loved ones, fear for our nation, fear for our society, fear for our health or our ability to provide for our families. But we're not called to be ruled by fear this morning. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love and of a sound mind." We're called to live by faith, not by fear. What does that mean? It means that we live by trusting in and acting upon the word of God. We're not ruled by fear, but we trust in the living God, in his promises, which are yea and amen. Acting upon those promises, believing those promises. That's half the battle, isn't it? Believing what God says is true, that he will save us, that he will forgive us, that he'll give us mercy, that he'll provide, that even if the worst happens to us and we're taken from this life, that we'll be saved in the next life. That when he promises that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we believe it. That when he tells us he'll never, never forsake us or leave us, that we believe it. When he tells us that he who comes to him, he will in no wise cast out, that we believe it. And when he tells us that vengeance is mine, I will repay, that we believe it. When he tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, that we will do that very thing and not lean to our own understanding. You know, we're quite good at that, leaning to our own understanding. But we're called to trust the Lord with all our heart. Rely upon him. It's his battle. We need to trust him and rely upon him and put our faith in him. We have a cunning enemy. He knows our weak points. He knows how to bring us down. He's not a fair enemy. He knows the things that we're prone to. He knows what buttons to push. And we need to remember that we're in a spiritual battle, a warfare. But scripture says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus said to his disciples, did he not? Let not your heart be troubled. Be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. How often do we listen to that and take it on board? Be of good cheer. Let not your heart be troubled. Sometimes we're too weighed down with anxiety, too weighed down with this world's problems. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us to lay aside every sin that so easily besets us and the weight that hinders us, to lay them aside. It says we've not yet resisted unto shedding our blood, striving against sin. We've not been tortured or killed for our faith. So we need to strive to overcome. We're called to be overcomers this morning. You know, how can you overcome unless you've got something to overcome? We're called to overcome not just sin, but the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're called to overcome our fears, to overcome our anxieties, and put our faith and trust in the living God. And you know, to those that do overcome, there are rewards. Let's not be those that draw back in unbelief, but continue to trust God, continue to press in, continue to believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Instead of giving in to fear, instead of giving in to depression and being downcast, let us diligently seek Him. Amen. Amen. Trusting Him with all our heart, not lean not to our own understanding. Listen to that still small voice that says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, when we fail, when we fall, instead of giving in, instead of quitting, instead of getting downcast and disturbed, let's get on our knees and pray and ask God to lift us back up, because He's our strength, our hope, and our Saviour. Psalm 42 and 5 says, similar theme, previous psalm, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." Amen. God is our help. Amen. Let's pray. Amen.